Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down.
Now it's time to get those answers for life, mortgages, and the financial industry with Matt Van Fossen.
I'm not fucking leaving.
J-Rod.
Okay, insert rod support A into slot B.
And John Kuskin.
Well, you don't know about jail? Well, you would love jail.
Here it is, Rates and Rants.
All right, welcome to another episode of Rates and Rants. Today, John and Joe are absent, but we filled their place with a much, much improved group here. We actually have some of the esteemed partners at the Crown Home Mortgage Division of Absolute Home Mortgage here. Erica, why don't you give us an introduction for the guy sitting to your left, and I'll do the one to your right.
She needs to learn her left and her right. She's like, she put her hand out.
I know.
I did see an L.
So I'm like, wait, which one?
Wait, Crown guys, you can't even talk yet. You're not even introduced. They only know who you are. Eric is not prepared to do Rex. All right, I'll do Dan. Today here on Rates and Rants, we got Dan. I like to call him Carroccio, but it's not Carroccio.
It is Carroccio.
That's right. I like to call you Carroccio.
Yes.
Yes, that's the slip. Well, Dan is a five-year loan officer, mortgage industry veteran. Maybe?
Eight years.
Wow, time does fly. Mm-hmm. But Dan...
I am Dan. I just got back from
the Tan Dan. Tan Dan has been a loan officer, I think, four or five different companies now.
Yes. That's a fair assumption.
Yeah, definitely travel around. Good producer, purchase originator. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear a little bit more about Dan in a little bit, right after E.
To my left, we have Rick Riddle, king of the castle of Crown Home Mortgage.
Mm. Yeah, that's king not really castle. A king, though.
King of the castle.
Just a jester.
I'm the court jester.
The court jester.
Yes. Court jester of the cast.
So we're continuing on with Mortgage Origin Stories, but this is the Crown Cast edition of Mortgage Origins. And we're going to hear a little bit about how Rick got started, but I guess we have to bullshit a little bit beforehand.
Do you want to bullshit a little bit?
We can. It's up to you.
It's football week.
It is football.
I get very excited about football.
I had two fantasy drafts this week.
You have two fantasies?
No.
What's your first fantasy?
My first fantasy? That the Giants win the Super Bowl again.
Really? You're a Giants fan too?
I am a Giants fan. What are you, a Jets fan?
I am a Jets
fan. Of course you are, because you're a Mets fan. Yes. What's that Jets and Mets thing all about?
It's called My Dad Was a Jets and Mets Fan, and I don't...
Because they rhyme.
Yeah, Jets, Mets.
Little kids.
But I don't like the Islanders. I like the Rangers. So I kind of, you know, buck the trend there.
All right.
And I'm not a Nets fan. I'm a Knicks fan.
Which is also bad.
I mean, usually, right, it's the Mets, it's the Jets, it's the Islanders. All right, so Rick, what year did you get into mortgages?
1997.
Yeah. You were a call center loan officer
first?
I
was. Worked for a company called PHH.
PHH.
And still
they
exist.
They're still around.
But they don't do originations anymore.
No, more retail, right? Just servicing. Yeah. And PHH was actually recently involved in a lawsuit. Do you remember? It was a CFPB one. It was a pretty big deal. It opened up something.
I know they lost. I know that they were one of the first to get hit big time for evaluation of servicing back in like 2011.
They went toe-to-toe with the CFPB on MSAs, actually, in real estate, because they the CFPB came down and kind of said, hey, we think you're giving kickbacks to agents through MSAs, and PSA fought it, or PHH fought it, and they won. Actually, Kavanaugh issued the ruling on it.
Really?
And that's why, for a while, MSAs were really going away. Everybody was really avoiding them, and they kind of just started coming back around again in reason, right, within reason. Those $10,000 a month MSAs for a single office, I don't think that's going down anymore. But, you know, $500,000 MSAs.
Based on the real advertisement you're putting in the office.
Right. Based on rule by enforcement, pretty much, CFPB losing that lawsuit.
That was PHH?
That was PHH. Wow. I'm pretty sure CFPB versus PHH, yeah. Yeah, open backup MSA. So interesting. So anyway, back to PHH. Tell us what was like. What was your first sale like?
So my first, it was crazy, right? So they did an extensive training, 6 weeks, like 1 week on learning how to answer the phone. Like, hello, thank you for calling USAA Mortgage Services. My name is Rick Riddle. How may I help you today? Like, we had to do that. We had to pass a test. That's how like intense they were.
Did you pass?
I did, barely. No, I passed. But so I'm on the. But what they used to
was
do.
Was it more difficult than the MLO test now?
Slightly.
Really? It was more difficult.
No, it wasn't more difficult. They did have a test like what PHH stood for, like three people's names. And Like, I have my book.
Do you remember?
No. But I remember I found my notebook. It was like LTV, loan to value. Like written out like a little with little tests and smiley faces.
So you didn't go to college for finance and you ended up in the mortgage business?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Marketing. I went to school for marketing.
Same.
And advertising.
It's nothing to do with finance. Nothing.
It's about sales.
I'm not licensed.
That's fair. So anyway, what they originally did, they put you on an outbound call, right, for sales, calling your portfolio customers. However, that week, rates dropped from 7.5 to 6.5 in one day. It was on a Tuesday. And they just threw us on the floor. And my first phone call was a four-star general because they had USAA, it was PHH, stole their mortgages. Four-star general doing a VARRL. And I didn't know who Alan Greenspan was. No clue because I came from the car business. And I was just kind of rambling. And I thought Greenspan was Greenpeace, but for, like, finances. So I called it the Greenspan Group. And the four-star general, and what's funny is, at the teaching, PHH said USAA is our biggest account. You just have to treat them with respect. Like, just be honest, 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 honest. Call them sir. Call them general. We knew all their salaries and incomes because it was all on a board. Like, you had to, like, they're the number one customer is the veteran, right? So, four-star general, I said Greenspan Group, and he goes, Greenspan Group? What are you talking about? And all I could think in my head was True Romance, like, Clarence, come clean. Clarence, come clean. Clarence, come clean. So I literally am like, you know what? I'm sorry, sir. It's my first day on the job. You're actually my first call. I thought Greenspan was Greenpeace. He starts laughing. He goes, I got to call old Alan. I golf with him every Thursday or every Saturday. He's like, I golf with him every Saturday. I can't wait to call him. Hold on. I'm going to try to get him on the phone now. I'm like, okay.
And when we back then, it wasn't like a cell phone. You're conferencing someone in. This guy had three-way. He paid, upgraded.
Like, yeah. He's like literally calling the operator. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like the party line. So I'm on hold. And I look at my manager, who they could monitor all calls, but they weren't, I mean, they had 400 originators. And he's like, I'm like, I have my customer's getting Alan Greenspan on the phone. And he's like, what? I'm like, yeah, he's a four-star general trying to get Alan Greenspan on the phone. He goes, transfer the fucking call. And the guy comes back. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, you don't have to transfer the call. And he goes, no, I'm doing business with you. You're awesome. Unfortunately, I couldn't get Alan on the phone, but I'm going to see him this Saturday. It's my first loan.
Wow.
Yeah.
You almost got Greenspan on the phone.
On my first sales call.
That would have been a great origin story. Yeah. Right? Yours is good, but it's just.
Yeah. It's leaving one. If I embellish, I could say that I got Alan Greenspan on the phone.
How many mortgage companies have you worked for?
Including this one?
Including this one.
Three. Four.
Four. So
PHH. Weichert.
RHF
and here.
And here.
Yeah. Okay.
So you.
I'm a hopper, 27 years in four companies.
That's good. No, that, I mean, that's
a call center, so you really only did PHH as a call center, right?
Yes.
When did you get into purchases?
When I went to Weichert.
When you went to Weichert?
Well, actually, yeah. Well, so when I was on PHH, I went from USAA to, at the time, PHH was Coldwell Banker's Mortgage Company.
Okay.
And it was Sendint.
Right? Yeah.
And it was funny, right? Because when I was on USAA.
Well, Sendint wasn't a couple of companies under Sendint?
Yeah, so
it was like ERA was under there.
It was part of the National Realty Trust. Yeah. Coldwell Banker, C21. What was the
other ERA.
One? ERA. There was another one, too, that closed down. But it was funny. It was all private label. So, like, you had to call. Thank you for calling USAA Mortgage Services. Or if you're on the Merrill Lynch account, thank you for calling Merrill Lynch. And it was so private label, and the contracts were so, like, set. You could, if they were like, are you PHH? Like, no, I'm not PHH. Private label. And what happened was when Sendint, National Realty Trust, and PHH merged to create Sendint Mortgage. They also bought another company called CUC. CUC did the entertainment books, and they misappropriated their earnings. They said it was $46 million, which is kind of, who believes that you can make $46 million selling $10 entertainment books? It was really $4.6 million. And PHH's stock went from like $86 a share to like $1.50.
Ooh.
And one,
wow.
Were you a shareholder?
I mean, we were getting stock options, but I was only there for like 3 weeks. So so my $47 turned to like $4.70. I still have that stock today. It's like up to like $11.
Wow.
Can't wait.
Long term.
I literally get dividend checks every quarter for like 15 cents. Thank God for the mobile apps. Then I don't have to go to the bank and deposit them. I can just deposit them on my phone.
Erica, what was the first time you heard Rick Riddle's name?
I don't remember. I don't know.
All right. What was your first impression of Rick Riddle? Be honest with him. Look at him.
Gaze into my eyes. I'll flutter.
No, I liked Rick off the bat.
You like Rick off the bat?
Yeah. Who doesn't?
I felt we were a little weird with each other off the bat, and we've grown a lot closer. I didn't know how to read you at first.
because I play poker for a living.
Yeah. Like, at first, I thought Rick was kind of like this geeky, nerdy guy that like wasn't really hip. And then I realized it's the complete opposite. He's the
Mark
guy.
Kaplan is not the hip guy.
Yeah. Well,
we knew that from day one. Yeah. Sorry, Mark. You know that.
I thought Bobby was in the mob.
Really?
What? He's like a hillbilly Italian. He's not even really Italian.
Yeah.
I mean, talk
well,
to
then
his
I
hands.
Then I saw the camper, and I was like, mafia guys don't have a camper.
They don't camp at all.
Yeah, they don't camp at all. They're not camping.
Maybe he is a real mafia guy.
I think
witness
it was
protection
Cadillac,
program.
The Cadillac.
Is it witness protection? Yeah.
He's a witness protection.
Yeah. He's in the witness protection.
No, he's a cowboy. He's a cowboy's fan. He wears cowboy boots. He drives an F-150 to work. He's a cowboy.
He's a cowboy. All right, back to this. I want to know one thing. Or part of the origin story, when do you first meet Mark? When do you first meet Bobby? So we went through Weikert. You get to Weikert, right? You came from PHH call center over to Purchase. What did the Weikert to?
So that's a funny story. So I do have a funny story about So I was thinking about leaving Weikert. I'll kind of give the whole origin story, right? So I was thinking about leaving Weikert. I call the previous owner of residential funding, Dave Stein, who I knew forever, and I thought that I didn't know he owned RHF. I thought he was like a branch manager. A couple of my friends had left Weikert. They went to become branch managers of other companies. So I call him up and was like, hey, I know you're a branch manager of this company called Residential Funding. He's like, branch manager? I own RHF. So I'm like, so he's like, let's meet. And they're like, look, we have a director of sales. He's pretty good at pipeline, but nobody likes him.
Kaplan.
That was Mark Kaplan.
So they're like, look, we're going to bring you in. And you're going to kind of work for him, but he's also going to kind of work for you. He's going to kind of be the man, like, you'll manage him, and you'll manage all the guys, so you'll get overrides on him. But, you know, he's kind of good at pipeline, so meanwhile, they didn't tell him that. Because they said, like, I was going to be his boss, and they told him that he was going to be my boss.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah, great strategy. It worked out really well in the beginning. So we had took a little while to get to know you, because Mark was a little intimidated, like, who's Rick Riddle? Why do you have him coming in? And, you know, they were kind of like, he'll just run pipeline. He'll be like kind of, he'll do his own thing and run pipeline. Don't bother him.
Okay. So can I ask you a serious question? What was up with Mark Kaplan's picture with the sunglasses on the RHF website? Did you ever see that?
No.
His headshot on RHF's website forever was him in like a pair of like slick back Oakleys. Like he was trying to be really cool.
What?
I'm dead serious. When I was doing my research on you guys, like the initial meetings, you know, I profile everybody, go look up your numbers, I pull up your NMLS, I go see what your websites look like, and Mark had a picture of him in sunglasses. I'm dead serious. You must
Does
have
Mark
never saw
even
it.
Own sunglasses?
I've never seen him wear cool sunglasses. That's why I thought it was weird.
You think it's still up there?
No, they definitely took it down.
Maybe not.
No, they did. They're actually.
It was his own website,
RHF corporate website.
And like you know how like we have R. Riddle at Crown HM. Like,
no, it wasn't that. It was like when you go look up the corporate people on the website. Like you were, you know, he was on there as a sales manager. You were behind a desk in a bow tie. I know that.
Yeah,
he's the mortgage guy in the bow tie.
Yeah.
Bobby wasn't even on the website. He wasn't there.
He had left previously.
Yeah.
I think it was his regular glasses, but they're probably darkening glasses. There's no way he had cool sunglasses.
I'm telling you, that's how out of place. That's why I remember it.
Maybe you looked up a different Mark.
No, it was Kaplan. All right, moving on.
Because there are pictures of Fat Mark. I have pictures of. Remember when? So he was like the number one producer, and there's a picture of him holding like the number one award, and he looks like triple the size of him.
You should get all of those framed and put them on your desk. The
I
only
actually have
pictures
them.
You have are of Fat Mark.
I have Fat Mark pictures. Fat Mark and Fat Rick pictures. And also, I'm waiting now. Back. I'm
so
came back as Fat Rick.
You go to RHF. You get hired by Stein. You meet Mark, when does the third stooge come in?
So he worked underneath me as a loan officer. So I inherited a group of loan officers. So Bobby was one of the first guys I met, and Bobby's energy was so like rah rah rah, and out in Alamuchi. And I said, you know what? I think you could, you know, I heard his story, and I'm like, you know what? I think you should get back into management. And I knew that I could align somebody with that high energy. I needed a high energy guy, and I kind of knew I needed him to help me offset Mark a little bit.
Right. Makes sense.
You know, Mark's a knowledgeable guy about business, knows how to get loans done, and knows how to push pipeline and aggravate underwriters and all that type of stuff. And my job is...
Well, you guys really are a tripod, right? The three of you couldn't be more different.
Correct.
Right?
Me and Bobby are pretty similar in a lot of ways.
Some ways.
But
it works together.
Yeah,
right?
Oh, totally.
You need all three of you.
Yeah. And you know what happened was, because of my relationship with Mark, I had to be the... the good cop in every situation. Mark's always the bad cop. Mark loves being the bad cop. Loves being a bad cop.
He's legitimately angry a lot of times, though.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm the good cop.
He gets cranky.
Everyone,
even when he's in a good mood, he sounds cranky.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we should stop bad-mouthing him, though. He made me a loan officer. Before him, I wasn't.
I don't think we're bad-mouthing
him. No, we're just
stating the obvious.
No, I think Mark, I tell everyone, Mark's the most knowledgeable loan officer I know.
Everybody go around and say something nice about Mark.
I did.
I just did, too.
I think he's got great hair.
That's fantastic.
That's just me.
I know some good sex stories about Mark, but I can't tell
you. Wow. We can't put that out there.
We don't need to do that.
I just know them. I know things.
Keep them to yourself.
You know what? He knows wine. He knows wine.
He knows wine?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does know wine. Yeah.
And restaurants.
And restaurants. And you know what? Very honest guy. Won't BS you.
I heard he knows how to cook.
He's an excellent cook.
I've heard that too, yeah.
He owned two restaurants before. Well, yeah, that's his story.
That's right. That's right.
That's podcast number 9, if you ever get him in here.
Yeah, that's the Mark's origin story. Yeah, tell us about the restaurants.
Yeah.
I was a young guy.
Yummyorcrummy.com. It's still there.
Yummyorcrummy.com.
Yeah, he was going to be a food blogger, and he got two in. And
so when's the first time you met Dan?
I met Dan at Forte.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
So we had a relationship with a Remax office, and they had 3 Remax offices, and I guess Dan's company promised them all this title. So they said, we are leaving your company. A third of it. We still want, two-thirds of your MSA money, but the other third we're going to take away because we're going to give it to Dan's company, and Dan's going to be our new loan officer in one of the offices. And we're like, what? And about 6 months later, like, oh, you should meet Dan because he can come work for you. And we're like, okay. And then we met Dan, and Dan came on board.
Where were you working before that?
I was working for Vanguard Funding, who, if you Google...
They got shut down.
Shut down.
They actually took down Sovereign Bank's entire warehouse, or Santander's entire warehouse division.
Really?
You didn't hear about what happened?
I mean, yeah.
Do you know what happened?
I have no idea. All I heard was the FBI was involved. They raided into the building.
So whereas the last origin story we were talking about how John's company was double selling loans, what they supposedly were doing was using the warehouse accounts for their operating funds.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they were actually... putting stuff on those warehouse lines that were in some way operating funds and
like payroll.
I'm not sure if it was payroll or owner's expenses or disbursements or something along the lines. They were illicitly using the funds in the warehouse or misappropriating the warehouse. And of course, it's all rumor what's going on, but that's what happened. And what it came down to was Santander never picked up on a change of control. They had some type of ownership change and they didn't submit the change of control over to the warehouse banks. They never picked up on it, and we had meetings. We had warehouse lines at Santander at the time too, and they kind of, that's when they were, right after that, they shut down that whole division.
I will tell you,
they sold it off to Flagstar, I guess.
The whole warehouse line thing, and here's a little rant that was crazy that happened. I remember I was at Weikert, and what's the guy, Lou Dobbs from Moneyline?
Yeah, Lou Dobbs.
So we're doing a loan for his son, Chris Dobbs. And Chris Dobbs, the loan wasn't going well. It was a mess. It was 2008, crazy busy. Lou Dobbs is calling me saying, if you don't get this loan closed, I'm calling Jim Weikert. Like, I'll just pay cash. Long story short, I mean, Chris Dobbs had some problems, and we had some we never got the loan closed. He ends up paying cash. Somehow, I then get a call 6 months later from Lou Dobbs motherfucking me again because we're showing like a 180-day late on a mortgage that we never released, never cleared, never sent wire out. Maybe wow. We sent the wire out. I have no idea. I don't know what the hell happened. I was like, what? Like, we never closed that loan. It's like, I know. That was the problem. When we put up his credit, it was like he had 180-day late.
Damn.
From Mortgage Access.
Screwed up.
It's like a financial.
So, Dan, you went... So you started... Let's talk about where you started. Who brought you into the business?
John Galdieri brought me into the business.
John Galdieri. And I know Galdieri.
Yes, you do. You know Chris, too.
Yeah, and those are the old Prime Finance boys.
That is.
Yes. So that's Pete Rizzuto, Manny, you got Salvato.
Manny Rizzuto?
Gorman. Yeah. Pete Rizzuto, Manny Rizzuto, Pete Salvato, John Salvato. They were all prime. Bob Forte, Manny Rizzuto was prime. Walter Gorman got his start at prime.
And then Grand Bank, right?
Yeah, and then Grand Bank. Yep, Grand Bank too. So I picked up Walter after Empire was going under. And that was like during my United Capital days. And then you got dragged in by Galdieri, right?
Right.
And he was under United at the time, right? Or no, it was Absolute.
It was Pete Rizzuto's branch. Manny, Absolute. Steph, Bob, me, John Galdieri, and Chris Galdieri.
What did you do before the mortgage business?
I managed a Chili's in Jersey City.
A what?
Chili's restaurant. Kitchen manager.
Baby back.
That's what I was just thinking.
And good fajitas, by the way.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. We sold a lot of veggie fajitas out there.
A lot of veggie fajitas.
But the baby back ribs.
Yeah. They're really smoked. I think he's an authentic smoker back there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys, jumped. When Pete shut down his office, didn't you guys go over to Walter? Like, I remember you guys started working under Walter's office then.
All right. So what happened was Manny, Bob, and Steph, just one day I just came in there and all the phones were gone and they weren't there. So we looked for another solution, and John had worked with Walter, I guess, at Grand Bank. So he said, hey, let's hook up with the same company. Let's just hook up with this guy. Gave a call over there. Walter brought us in, gave us a small little Chester location to sit in. We were there for about 7 months before John pulled the plug to bring us over to some Chop Shop lead based platform.
And that was at Vanguard?
No, that was Meadowbrook.
Oh, that's right. You guys went to Meadowbrook. And you went from Meadowbrook and then Meadowbrook to Vanguard.
Yeah. It was awful.
Okay. And then Vanguard to RHF?
Yeah. What happened was when the lead-based platform, I saw it as a supplement, but I thought if I'm going to make any money in this business, I got to get somebody that's going to, you know, call me and give me some business. So I ended up getting a personal referral, and that personal referral ended up being Mike Fucci was the realtor, and that's how I ended up in front of Ralph.
How about that?
So
how about that? I'm like, that's cool.
So I worked Mike, and I said, hey, Mike, you know, if you got anything that comes into your office that you guys are having problems getting closed, you know, let me take a look at it. Maybe we can figure something out. I closed one deal that Sandy Davis had said she didn't want to do for some reason. I don't know what the reason was, you know, because Sandy Davis, she's a hammer, you know, and I was brand new into the business. I ended up getting the deal closed, and then, you know, I started working my way in there. I started getting more, you know, a couple deals. And then Lynn Martini called me. And she, again, worked for the same broker, and she threw me a deal. And then I guess that got Ralph's attention, and then I got in front of Ralph, and I guess corporate came in and offered him a bunch of title work that they were never going to give him because they were a chop shop. And
after the rest, as they say, is history.
The rest is history, and then that's when I met Rick and Mark at Forte's Pizza.
So you were under Ralph first, and then you moved over under Bobby. And
no, Ralph was a real estate broker.
Yeah. Oh, Ralph was a real estate broker.
I weaseled my way into one of their MSAs.
Ralph from RHF.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I weaseled in on an MSA that they had. Ruffle Little Feathers, I think.
Oh, yeah. We went to kill Dan.
So if
But then you hired me.
We went to fuck marry. We went to kill. Then we went to fuck him. And now we want to marry him.
It's funny what time does, right?
So we have this thing that everybody's got a mortgage mom and a mortgage dad, right? The woman that got him through the business or the male that got him through the business. So who would you say is your mortgage daddy?
Don't use the word daddy. That's just weird.
John's daddy. He's not here.
Yeah, John is daddy.
I would say Kaplan probably taught me the most about the business.
Okay, so Kaplan's your mortgage daddy. What about mommy?
My current loan processor, Sharon Catalino.
She's the best.
Boom.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Shout her out as much as I can.
What do you remember from your first day?
Rate sheets. Yeah.
That's right. We didn't even have a pricing engine back then.
No pricing engine. They gave me a sheet and they showed me different programs. And then they basically just threw me on the phone.
So in total, you've been at four companies, right?
No, more than that.
Five? Say Absolute.
Absolute, Meadowbrook, Vanguard,
RHF.
Then I went to Home Point Financial.
Home Point
closed retail. I went to Home American Lending. Home American Lending was going bankrupt. The guy pulled the branch over to ICG, and I said, I had enough. Can't do this anymore. I can't move anymore. And I called Bobby.
And then that was UWM.
UWM.
No, United Northern.
United Northern. Yep.
Colors are the same, aren't they? Blues and greens.
Yes.
Similar. Okay, sorry. United Northern.
United Northern.
Then, and then back here to Crown. Yeah. So I have seven. How many, Rick? You're at three?
PHH? Or
four. You're at your fourth.
Weichert, RHF, Crown.
I'm at my third, but two of one merged into the other, so technically two. E, you're at two, right?
Correct.
Yeah, you had Maverick in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, and...
Well, Maverick was home point, and...
Yeah, but you got... We don't count home point. Well, we don't count home point because you got fired.
And nobody likes home point anyway.
Or nobody likes home point.
I actually liked home point. That was a good place to originate business.
It was different from Maverick, though. Maverick, they culturally changed it, which is probably not... They didn't do anything wrong with it, right? Mm-hmm. They made it a big company. Maverick was just run a little bit differently.
They were Rose before Maverick, now.
They were Rose before Maverick, yeah, back in the day.
The mortgage business of Parsippany.
Yeah. Now, we do have a very interesting localized, you know, industry, mortgage industry.
There's like two, right? There's like Parsippany. And then you go down to like Mount Laurel, and that's where like the GMACs, PHA. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like huge.
There's another one on Long Island, Melville. Yeah.
And then there's one in PA, like.
Yeah, there is one in
PA. Like right outside of
Huntington Valley.
Yeah, Northeast.
Not Huntington Valley. There's like another town. There's like all these call center, like.
Huntington Valley has had MCS Mortgage.
It did, yeah. It had us. We were down there for a long time.
Right. There's a new one out of Huntington Valley.
Guys, so you've been at
guys
eight,
from Ohio,
eight mortgage companies. It's almost as much of all of ours put together.
Yeah, I don't want to do that ever again. I don't want to move. Yeah,
crown for life.
Yeah, crown for life. Crown for life, yo. All right, what's the highest rate you ever sold, Rick?
7.5 with two.
Even during subprime?
Yeah, I never did subprime. At PHH, we never did it.
Oh, wow. I put somebody in like a 15.5% subprime loan one time.
And at Weichert, we referred to subprime.
I just did a hard money loan at like 12%, three up front.
I'm trying to think if I'd done higher now. They say I've had customers. You know what? At Weichert, we used to refer to this guy, Double G, Jeff Griffith, who's out of the business. But he would sell our customers, you know, 9, 10, 12, like the subprime.
Right.
So you didn't even really sell subprime.
No, I was
A.
I'm the Fonzie of the mortgage business.
We have a Fonz here.
A.
You do.
The Fonz is the man.
Fonz is the man.
Post-closing Fonz.
You think Digney's going to watch the Giants game this weekend?
I don't think so. No, definitely not.
By the way, the Fonz.
He's going to live the Giants game this weekend.
Fonz, one of the best baseball players I've ever seen. If you ever have a baseball team.
Oh, you're talking about Arfons.
Yeah.
Not Harry Winkler.
Really?
No, he was good in The Waterboy, though.
He was good in The Waterboy.
He's great in The Waterboy.
When he's wearing his grandmother's heels, talking on the phone that's not connected.
I hate him.
Stomping his foot.
Yeah, no, Fonzie, unbelievable. He's a big dude.
Pablo Sandoval.
He's an unbelievable, and he's flat. Like, he'll dive, don't split. I mean, I've been in a softball league with him. Unbelievable baseball player.
Really?
Yes.
Ridiculous. Place the hot corner?
So do we...
Shortstop.
For really? Crown Origins Part 2, do we bring Mark and Bobby in?
We can.
I think you need to.
Now we need to, right?
Yeah.
This is Part 1. That's Part 2.
Well, Part 2 and 3, right? You got to get Bobby's story and you got to get Mark's story.
Right. We got to bring him in. We should bring each one of them in with a loan officer each time.
Yeah.
Right.
I'd like to be like the... I'd like to still be there for that.
Oh, you want to be there?
Keep it going. I like to hear their story.
So, all right, let's finish with something. There's something that's really interesting about Rick.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, you're a comedian.
Just too. One. One.
No,
thing.
No. Seriously, that's. I think that's very interesting. You do stand-up, right? It takes a lot of courage to do something like that. I don't think I can do stand-up. I do public speaking.
You can do stand-up.
I don't know if I'm funny enough to do stand-up.
You know what? Stand-up is a little tough.
I work well in groups of humor, right? When I know people and there's inside jokes, like that's where I know how to be funny. I don't know if I can come up with content. If I had a writer, I can do it because then it's good giving a
it's
presentation.
It's a good presentation. Right. It's lots of delivery, though.
I can do the delivery.
Yeah.
I'm confident in the delivery. I can't. Like sometimes I see what people tweet and it's really funny and I get jealous and I'm like, man, why couldn't I be that witty? Or how could I not think of that? Like that's really funny.
And what's weird about stand-up's a lot tougher because, well, at least for me, it's tough. I learned stand-up in New York City, and you only get like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That's it. 6 minutes, I guess, is the standard, and they pull you off after 6 minutes. So you got to like you. There's not a lot of time for setup, and there's not a lot of time to like riff. There's not like it's literally like a set, and if you miss like a point, you can't go back to it because it's like
right. You got
to
move on.
Yeah, and especially if you miss like the joke line or the punchline. So
yeah,
it's fun. I mean, it's
how'd you get into it?
My girlfriend gave it to me for like a Manhattan Comedy School lessons. for Christmas.
How long ago?
2015.
Oh, so it's recent. I thought you've been doing this for 10 years.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm just that good. Or I'm washed up. I'm a washed up comic already.
Well, anytime you say something funny, I kind of kick it back. I'm like, oh, well, he's a comic. No, of course he's going to be funny. Yeah. You know?
Well, I guess I've always had a funny wit to me, but then I start doing sets and stuff. So.
Yeah.
It's a different type of thing, though, because it's literally, for me, it's more like a like a presentation.
Right.
That tries to be funny.
So are we going to get to start seeing the spinoff podcast, a Crowncast now?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we'll just... Well, but I don't know what... I don't do mortgage jokes, believe it or not.
I like doing mortgage
jokes. Yeah, you like doing mortgage
jokes. I want to do a set of mortgage jokes. I can do that.
I do like wine, divorce. What else I do? Kids.
Standards. Those are go-tos.
Yeah.
You're playing to your own demographic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Old people.
Right.
I do a lot of old people jokes.
Medical issues.
Medical issues.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. So, well, I guess we'll have to come back and sit with our next guest,
Mark and
for
Bobby.
More Crown origin stories.
I like it.
Maybe we'll have a spinoff. You'll be like, would you be? What type of spinoff would you be? Would you be like
Archie Bunker's Place? Like we'd do like a
no, like a Happy Days had spinoffs, right? So what are
like
your
Archie Bunker's Place?
What's Archie's Bunker? What do you mean? What's that a spinoff of?
Oh no, maybe
All in the Family wasn't a spinoff.
No, but Archie Bunker's Place was a spinoff.
Oh, Archie Bunker's Family. Place was a spinoff.
And the Jeffersons were from All in the Family.
The Jeffersons were from All in the Family, and then like Happy Days had Laverne and Shirley, had
Joni Loves Chachi,
which then had Charles in Charge. That's just the same actor. That's just Scott Baio.
That wasn't even Scott Baio, was it?
Yeah, Charles in Charge is Scott Baio.
I get him and Tony Danza mixed up. Tony Danza did
Who's the boss?
And Taxi. He was Green Taxi.
He was great. I mean, Taxi's just a great show.
Yeah. Best character on Taxi.
Is the guy that died.
Andy Kaufman.
Or the Christopher Lloyd, the drunk one.
That's what I like. Yeah.
Jim.
Do you know about Taxi?
Nope.
I'm younger than you.
Yeah, I can't believe that you know Taxi, because I
know
barely
Taxi well.
Know
Taxi.
Taxi's
Danny
from
DeVito.
The 70s, no?
Yeah, and it was like 70s late.
70s and 80s. There's great episodes on it.
Yeah, Taxi's good. Reminds me of Barney Miller. That was like around the same time.
Yeah.
With Wojciechowicz and...
That's good stuff. 70s. All right, well...
Did you watch a lot of Cheers? I see you watching Cheers.
I watched Cheers. Cheers was really fun. I was talking about this the other day. Cheers was a great show that like is unwatchable now. Like, you watch Seinfeld over and over. Oh, my God, that damn phone.
Blake always calls.
He does always call on our podcast. We do have a feature that we have to get working that we can bring callers in. There's a cable around here someplace that we can actually bring callers in.
Could we do a
so
call-in show?
That's you want to bring Blake in?
Yeah, we have the cable.
So you're going to ask a mortgage question?
We could bring callers in. I'm just saying that there's an option.
Call in with your mortgage questions?
But we're running out of time.
What?
Yeah.
That's it. This show has been brought to you by Coors Light, the silver bullet. Thank you, Tim Digney.
Thanks, Timmy.
Thank you, Tim Digney, for the Coors Light.
And ignoring my email from Thursday.
That's a rant, right?
Yeah,
that counts.
It counts. It's good stuff. All right, signing off.